Yeah, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. Come as you are to LE2B. I'm Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with my co-host, Eric B. Eric Bronstein. What's up, man? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you were away, right? You were in Hawaii.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii. I got back a few days ago. How
was it over there? Did you see any of the devastation?
No, but I was on Maui, so I was kind of near where I went to that. I went to Maui last year this time, and I went to that town, Lahaina.
Oh, wow.
Like, I had dinner there last time, but, you know, like, before it happened. And then my sister and her husband went to eat near there, and they drove through, and they said it was just, you know, gone pretty much. It's crazy. And I noticed there were less people there, you know, where I was. Maybe I think people were scared off a little bit or something.
Probably.
By the island burning down. But no, it was really nice. It's just like a long trip to get there. And
what was the temperature?
You know, it was nice, but there were a couple of days where it was kind of like not that warm. I mean, it wasn't like cold, but it was like windy. And I'm such like a baby. I'm like, it was windy. That's like literally how I was when I was there. It's windy here. I don't like it.
Meanwhile, in New York, it's been very mild right now. It's, you know, it's, this is so far. It's in the 50s right now. And it's,
yeah,
all December has been pretty mild. And if they're going this year, because last year we had no snow in New York. And everyone's like, this is going to be it. Just you wait. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know if you know how science works, but we may have a snow. We didn't have any snow last year. I don't think we're going to have any this year.
Do we not have any last year?
Like nothing.
Oh, great. I love that. Remember, like, you're a kid, you love snow when it snows. Now it's like, it sucks. It just ruins your life.
Yeah. Well, I only liked it because I had a car and then I didn't have to move it, you know, because of the.
Oh, that's not. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you like it for different reasons, older. Not for fun. Like, as a kid, it's like you get out of things when you're a kid for snow and it's fun. You know, you don't get out of things now for
snow.
Do
you remember listening to the radio and listening to see if your school was canceled?
I have a very vivid like image of that in my head. Me and my sisters listening, and I remember like a couple times you got lucky where it happened on like Friday, Thursday or Friday. So like you were closed Thursday, Friday, and then you had the whole weekend.
Oh yeah. And the funny thing is,
literally didn't get any better than that.
Yeah, the funny thing is you could sleep late, but you couldn't because you were so excited. First of all, you had to wait to see if school was canceled. And then you couldn't go back. You couldn't go back to bed after that.
Yeah, I think I was able to. I don't know. You know, I don't, do you know this about me? I sleep a lot. Like I sleep late, but I'm sure you can figure that out from my voice. I was playing like a trip.
When you're a kid, you're not like really like, you know, you're not like, oh, I need a nap. I'm so tired. You're like, you're a kid. You want to run around like an idiot.
Yeah, no, I probably stayed up, but I definitely didn't have a hard time. I mean, now I can't get to sleep at night, but I sleep. It's hard for me to get it. I've just always had a hard time getting out of bed. But it's funny because I was playing this trivia game with my girlfriend and her parents like on Christmas, and because they bought some game, and it's called something like I Should Have Known That. It's kind of like facts that, you know, you probably feel like you should know, but it's like a lot of times you won't really know it. And one of the questions was, how long when you snooze, how many minutes does it take for the alarm to go off again? And I got that question. I was like, oh, let's see. And I was like, nine, I think nine. Mm-hmm. You know, my girlfriend was like, yeah, of course you knew that. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
you like nailed it.
Yeah. And I remember I was like, how did I know that? It's like, because you do it every day. Like, but it was funny. It didn't even dawn on me. Like, of course I know that. Would you have known that?
No, I thought it was 10. I thought, man, I don't know.
Yeah, it was funny because it was just so like it's so ingrained in my head. I didn't even know I knew it, but I knew it, of course. I was like, yeah, nine. Yeah. Of course.
Sleep is fucking great, man. You know?
Yeah. And I snooze in my sleep, basically. Do you do that? Where like just like the phone will be making noise and I'm not really awake and I'm just kind of fumbling with it. So I'm not awake enough to get up. I'm just awake enough to hit it. And then by the fifth one, I'm like, oh. So anyway, yeah, that was a good tangent on that. We're covering the really important things. snoozing. But Yeah.
Well, talking about sleeping, I just saw Oppenheimer. No, I'm joking.
Do you want to start with, we want to do like a rundown of kind of our favorite, you know, movie or entertainment of 2023. It was kind of a weird year because the strike was for so long. And they did, even though I do feel like there was, people were complaining about the strike, but I feel like there was still a lot of content because now they make so much shit. It's kind of, it helped me catch up and kind of catch my breath a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You caught up on old shows you never even watched and things like that.
Yeah, but I feel like there were new things coming out like all the time. Like it wasn't really like...
Because the strike wasn't really that long. It was a 6-month lag where they couldn't do anything. So they had already shit in the can already.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, and you know, Barbie and Oppenheimer were the two that kind of like filled the void, you know, because
I read this article. I don't know if you agree, but you know, I just saw Oppenheimer. I actually kind of liked it, even though it was a little long. But the two biggest movies were those two movies, and they weren't superhero movies. And in this article, I think it was in the Times, was saying that maybe the tide's turning a little bit in Hollywood, where they're putting out some more thoughtful movies. I think they realize they're oversaturating with the fucking superhero shit. There was a couple ones that did okay, but most of them were bombs, like The Flash and the
Marvels or something.
I think Ant-Man one also came out.
Ant-Man, blah. And then there was one that just came out that everyone hated, right? That might have been the Brie Larson one.
Yeah, that's the Marvels. Yeah,
the Marvels. Yeah,
yeah. But The Flash also bombed because that guy was a psycho. But
I don't think anyone like I think it just bombed because no one cared. I do feel like I don't know what you're. You know, I always shit on them, but I haven't seen one of those movies in years. It, you know, years ago, I was just like, I just was over them. It's weird how they really, how that culture just dominated. I guess there's so many people out there more than you realize. There's a lot of like weirdo nerds out there, I guess.
Right, but I think they're just, the plots are very similar. That's why the ones that are kind of good are the ones that just steal from old movies. Like The Joker was basically king of comedy.
One was good because it like I didn't consider it like a superhero movie.
Right. But, you know, they should just do that. I keep saying this. Take old movies and put superheroes in them.
Yeah.
You know, no one will know. Like I always say, the Suicide Squad, which was really bad, the first one. But the first half was pretty good because it was really the Dirty Dozen. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
It was the same. So just make the Dirty Dozen. Why do you have all this weird shit at the end?
Yeah, no, totally. So I'm working on a superhero version of Ordinary People. Sophie's Choice with Ant-Man. Ant-Man's Choice. Who are you gonna choose, Ant-Man? Which kid? Yeah, so
that's really fun.
Schindler's List with The Flash. That actually would be good. That'd be great.
Yeah.
He just kind of like kills everyone. So do you want to go? I'll go first. Do you want to name something like one of your favorite things? We can go back and forth.
You go first.
So I really liked this movie called Dream Scenario. It was with Nicolas Cage. It came out like, I don't know, a month or two ago. And, you know, it got some attention, but I'm surprised. It seems to have just gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit. It's, this guy made it. I forgot what else he made, but, it's kind of like it's kind of funny and it's like a thriller and it's almost like kind of a horror movie. But it's a very astute, like kind of commentary on, you know, kind of cancel culture, but also just culture in general and fame in general, what it means now and what it is and,
right,
and how it happens and how it's taken. It's just basically like a guy basically becomes famous for doing nothing. He kind of becomes in the zeitgeist because it becomes this like phenomenon. And I guess it's sort of a thing that happened in real life, but they, you know, exaggerate a little bit where, you know, people start realizing that they see Nicolas Cage's characters in their dreams. Like he's a common dream character. And,
this is a good movie, right? You said,
I thought it was great. Cause it was, it's really funny. And it's really smart, you know, it's a really smart indictment of cancel culture because he becomes like adored because he's just kind of like, people think it's funny that he's anything in the dreams. And then he becomes really famous and he kind of gets into it. And then slowly things turn because in the dreams, he starts to do horrible things to people. He's not doing it in the dreams. He does.
Oh, I want
to
see.
So
this.
Everyone is like, I hate you. Like you like did this and you did this to me. And he's like, I didn't do anything. So he becomes famous and then canceled for not doing anything.
He's not playing himself in this movie, right?
No. He's playing like this, like, you know, kind of like very, you know, like everyman professor,
right?
With like a lot, like, you know, kind of like timid social anxiety. But it's funny because he's just kind of this intellectual who becomes famous for nothing. And all these like hot young girls want to sleep with him. And then they turn on him once. It's basically the whole thing is like whatever people's vision of you in their mind is, if when it changes in their mind, then they turn on you, even though the person has done nothing to change it. You know?
Yeah, I want to see this. So,
yeah, it's really, really smart. It's really funny. And it's weird and like kind of trippy. And I'm surprised. It's gotten good reviews, but
you see the whole,
it hasn't.
You saw the holdovers, right?
I did. Yeah, that I saw that in the theater. It's coming. It's streaming soon.
Yeah, but I always liked. I love Alexander Payne movies. So
yeah, it's good. It's very you know, it looks like you've seen the trailer, right? You can tell it kind of looks like of the era it's in. It's supposed to be like the 70s, and it looks exactly like a 70s movie.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti is really great in it, and the kid is really good in it because it's about like a boarding school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some kids who don't have anywhere. It's like a rich kids, but some of them don't have anywhere to go for the break, for Thanksgiving break. And it just ends up being this one kid is stuck there with Paul Giamatti at the school. No one's there. And that kid is just, you know, he's like the star of the movie, and he just had never done anything before. They just found him, I think, at the school that they shot it at.
No kidding. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's really good in it. So
I just saw this movie. It's on HBO Max, but it was out. Reality. Did you hear about that one?
With the hot girl, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. That story was like interesting. I just thought the story was interesting. I heard about that story about the woman who gave up those files on Trump, and then she did hard time. She did like 5 years. You know, and she was basically, I guess, showing the collusion between Russia and Trump. And
right.
I don't know why people still say that. Like, there was no collusion. I'm like, no one ever said that.
Because he just says it so many times, and people just are dumb. So they just are like, well, and then, you know, again, we talk about it all the time. It's just everyone's just caught in their own ecosystem of what they're told and refuse to see anything.
I mean, there's so many links now to that Hamas attack to Russia now. It's crazy. You know, and it happened on Putin's birthday, too. He's known to do this. Well, something will happen on his birthday. He'll kill people and stuff. October 7th was Putin's birthday. And they said that, remember that mercenary group, the one that tried to have the coup, Prigozhin?
Yeah.
The Wagner group. Wagner group was training Hamas soldiers. That's the way they were all trained up and stuff. And they were definitely behind us, Russia. It's not even like, and you see why, because what is it doing? It's splitting up the Democratic Party. They knew what was going to happen. They knew.
So when is this link started to get made?
What?
The Putin thing, the Russia Putin thing too. October 7th.
There's a bunch of articles about it, but they were just saying, I mean, it'll never be like proven because he always is good at like, they just said the Wagner group was there training the soldiers, and that was his mercenary group. And
the Wagner group exactly?
They were mercenaries, paid fighters. They were fighting in the Ukraine for Putin because they were the only
That's
really
a weird name. That doesn't sound like a group of mercenaries.
It sounds like,
that sounds like a book club or something.
Yeah,
like
accounting firm, you know? Yeah. So, and it works.
We're going to get you. We're the Wagner group.
I know. It's not really.
Oh.
Well, I guess they want to make it sound corporate. But, you know, it makes sense that Putin would be behind it because what it did was, you know, Democrats are fighting now because there's a pro-Palestinian, pro-Israel. You know, and that's all he wants. And he wants, you know, a lot of these people are mad at Biden, and especially in like Michigan, the Arab community, and they probably won't vote for Trump, but they may not vote now. So,
yeah,
you know, he's
good move.
Yeah.
And then also work because everyone under 21 hates Jews now. Is that what's going on? I don't know what the fuck. Did you read that thing? I'm sure you saw where there's like 1 in 5 young people see Bin Laden in a positive light.
Oh my God.
I mean, like, I know you're young, but I mean, I feel like when I was young, and I heard about Hitler and things, like I knew he was bad. You know what I mean? Like even when I was like seven, it was just like, oh yeah, there was never any debate. I don't know how this has happened.
What if you ask that question to kids now about Hitler? Those numbers.
I think it would be different. I do think there's something I almost was thinking about the other day where like they always talk about how like eventually everything comes back into fashion, becomes popular again. I feel like, and I'm barely kidding. I feel like with Hitler and Nazis, that's kind of what's happening. Like it's becoming kind of like, you know, like trendy again. Like, what's the problem? Why is everyone so hard on them? You know, like, you know, it's kind of like a contrarian view.
Right.
I don't know how it happened. I mean, I guess because, you know, I know that, but really, like he was able to.
He just put it in the mainstream.
Just turn Hitler.
just to point out, like this Nikki Haley got in a little trouble this week. You know, she's running for president. And someone asked her in New Hampshire, I don't know if you read the story, what was the Civil War about? And she would not say slavery. She just wouldn't. And they, you know, she's from South Carolina. They were first state to secede, but like she wouldn't say it. States' rights or whatever the fuck. And it's like, she doesn't say it because she doesn't want to piss off her Nazi base. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I went on Breitbart. I always look at the comments because you see what they're talking about. And like, they were like, everyone on the comments, it wasn't about slavery. I'm like, are you fucking out of your mind? Saying that war was about slavery is calling, you know, Southerners racist.
Right. And it's like saying the movie Barbie wasn't about Barbie. Fast X wasn't about bullshit. It's really disturbing, but it's more like surreal. It's like weird. But it's funny because, you know, when I watch, you know, when I would hear about things, you know, in the history of, you know, not that long ago, you know, when I was younger and you would, you know, you'd think about like, you know, even just things like segregation and stuff, you'd be like, how was that like allowed? How did they, you know, even slavery, like how was that was like allowed? And, you know, people just accepted it and kind of like didn't want to push back on it. But I feel like that's kind of what we're sort of living through. It's sort of, you know, and it's also one of those things getting older and having been around and seeing a lot of things that happen, seeing the world shift and change in a way that's really negative and weird it's surreal because you just have no power over it.
And people like these are like, you couldn't even believe. I mean, no one would say that years ago, no political candidate. It's in it, you know, people take their rights for granted in this country. I mean, women have lost rights, you know, with the abortion thing. The Supreme Court, there's enough votes on the Supreme Court to overturn like Brown versus Board. They could do it. They would do it.
Yeah, no, we're at that point. And I don't know what people are thinking. Like, I this weird thing with Trump, like where people are finally like, you know, people have no memory. And I guess, again, they're just in their, you know, they listen to whatever they listen to in their own kind of chamber. And then they just parrot things over and over to them. And
yeah, someone had a good point. I forgot, someone was talking to us, a comedian had a good point. He's like, a lot of these young people now, Trump is not even outrageous anymore because they grew up in the age of Trump, right? He started everything like 8 years ago. So in 2016, everything was so outrageous. Nothing's outrageous anymore. So even if you're young and you're maybe even woke or whatever, I don't think you find it outrageous anymore. You're just like, whatever.
Also, how far he's come in such a short time. Remember, like, you know, the 2016 before the election, you know, I would talk to people and people were already kind of, I guess people threw around the Hitler comparison too much so that now that it actually does fit, kind of like people are like, whatever, like you've been saying that for a while. Sorry, my mic's, let me, but now he's literally, so he's literally quoting Mein Kampf, you know, that in his speeches, but not even by accident, he keeps doing it. And then, literally, he in his speeches now, he's like, I've never read Mein Kampf. That's where we are. We're like, part of the platform and part of the campaign is him just being like, no, I haven't read Mein Kampf. Right. What do you mean? But like, he has to say, what?
His speechwriter did, the guy who wrote this speech. He keeps acting like there's a speech. Was it Stephen Miller? This guy who's a Nazi or whatever writes his speeches.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They put in these little dog whistles, you know, Berman.
Well, I mean, it's not even
George
dog
Soros.
Whistles. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, what did he say? He's like, yeah, Hitler said it, but he said it differently. But it's like, yeah, he said it in German. It sounded a lot different. Also, so, I mean, I guess people have addressed this. So it's basically like you're saying, like, No, I just came up with that on my own. So just kind of parallel thinking, like, no, yeah. We just have the exact same outlook on things. We see things the exact same viewpoint.
You think Hitler would be mad? Like he's stealing his material?
Probably. He seemed to take things pretty harshly. He didn't seem pretty that chill. He wouldn't let things go. So I don't know. It's just been interesting to watch. Like, does this feel like inevitable in some way? You know, this whole thing that's happening, like, is it inevitable that maybe just this country just has to completely be destroyed? So what do you do if Trump gets elected? What do you do the next day? What do you do?
I just remember
how you stay here. What?
I just remember how everyone felt the next day in New York. It was just like, you know, I remember the commute to work and everyone was just like, I can't go.
I was in law school. My law school professor like came in like someone had died and like made a speech about it. Like that's, you know, like literally addressing it in class. Like, you know, I know it's.
I mean, I still have. Yeah, go ahead. I
still have. Some dick came in wearing a Trump Pence shirt. Fucking, oh God. He was such an asshole. Of course. It's always the biggest assholes.
But I mean, I feel still positive about this, even though the polls right now are not so great. But, you know, it's. If you look at some of the polls, all the Trumpers are all locked in, right? He's got the ceiling of 47%. The Biden people are, there's a lot of people just said when they do the polls, I'm not voting for Biden. But when everything kind of crystallizes towards the end of the year, mm-hmm. and like, these are your options, you know, even if you're a Muslim in Michigan, it's like, all right, he didn't like Biden's support of Israel, but the other guy wants to throw you out of the country, you know, so you might want to
show up
to the
other thing
polls.
It's sort of like the fact that this is where we are, that one of them is quoting Hitler and everyone's like, well, what is the other guy buying, like, what's his plan, his agenda? He's not saying about his agenda. And it's like, he's not quoting Hitler. Like, what? I don't understand how this is. I was telling somebody, it's kind of like if I brought in two people to, like, you know, design my, you know, like do it in if I brought in like two interior decorators to, you know, design my house for their pitches. And the first guy just started setting my house on fire, you know, during his pitch. Yeah. And then I turned to the other guy and I was like, so what's your pitch for interior decorating? And he's like, that guy's still in the running. Like, you might still hire him. Like, I'm not going to burn your house. I'm not burning your house down. That's my agenda. But
I mean, yeah,
I don't know. Isn't that odd? I mean, that's sort of where we are.
There's some Jewish people I know who, you know, first of all, Biden's been supportive of Israel, but, you know, there's elements in the Democratic Party, like the Squad, that are like anti-Israel. And I'll talk to some Jewish friends and they're like, yeah, they're anti-Semitic. Some parts of the Democratic Party are anti-Semitic. They're almost as bad as Nazis. I'm like, yeah, but the other side is Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the ones saying Jews will not replace. They're Nazis. They're not like Nazis. They are. If you call them a Nazi, they wouldn't be offended by it. You know?
Well, I mean, weren't people at the Capitol riot, like, didn't they have like flags that said like Nazis and like something like, Auschwitz was a great place and
it was like
6 million is not enough, and it's just like, so the other guy you don't like his border, his immigration stance or immigration policy.
I don't even like the term the term neo-Nazis. I don't even like that term. They're Nazis. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I just, it's, I can't figure out what it is, if everyone's just so dumb or missing. I don't know how you can be, I don't know how you're misinformed anymore. It always amazes me when, like, you ever meet someone and they don't know something. Like, you ever have someone like ask you something, like where something is, and you're just like, you have the answer to everything in your fucking hand. Like, I don't. What do you mean you don't know where? Like, go on your phone.
Right.
It amazes me when someone doesn't know something now. Like, I don't have any excuse.
People on the street ask me directions holding their phone. I'm like, Google Maps is better than me. Just do that.
Right.
You know?
Have you ever done that where someone asks you for directions and you give them directions and then like 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, that was totally wrong. I just sent that old woman to Compton.
And she was Midtown Manhattan too. That was a long walk.
Well, so this is so yesterday, like 2 days ago, I was on the train and some dude just walked up to me. You know, and, you know, people just walk up to you on the train, not and you know, they're weird. When someone just walks up to you, isn't saying anything, they're just looking at you. That means that's usually a pretty like you know, confrontational stance,
right?
And so I was just this guy was staring at me and like just standing there, and I was like, I didn't say anything, and then he was holding up his phone. And he had it like a picture like blown up to like he had taken a picture of like a subway station, like the name of the street at the subway station. I don't know from where. And it was blown up to be a close up of the letter T from whatever. And he just showed that to me. And I was like, yeah, I guess he didn't speak English. And then he showed me like a piece of paper that said like had numbers on it, like that I was like seven something. And then he was like, I was at the L where one gateway goes to Brooklyn and one way goes to 8th Avenue. He goes, Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, yeah, this one goes to Brooklyn. And he was like, oh, yeah. But he didn't like make I was kind of like, where are you going? Because Brooklyn's like a big place. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe Avenue T. Isn't there the letters? I don't know.
So he sat across from me and I kind of felt bad. So I kept trying to like I went over to him again. And I'm like, let me see the thing. And I looked. It was just numbers and a T on the and I was like. Getting off, and I was like, this goes to Brooklyn. This goes to Brooklyn. But I was like, I don't know how that guy's going to get where he's going with T and seven on and Brooklyn. Those were the directions he was given. So, anyway, yeah, that was, but again, like, it's weird, I guess.
No, because I was, this happened a couple months ago. The Spanish person was asking me and talking in Spanish to me. And I was like, no hablo,
I don't speak Spanish.
I go, no habla español. And then they go, no habla inglés. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And then all of a sudden they start talking English. I'm like, what are you? Then he's like, yes, I guess I know a little. Like, yeah, but you should have started right. with that. I don't, what are you trying to give me a Spanish lesson here? I don't know what's going on here.
Were you able to help him or?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. But I mean, I felt even worse because I took Spanish for 4 years and I couldn't help him in Spanish. No.
Yeah, no, me too. That's but yeah, that was one of those situations. It was like I felt bad, but I didn't know what to. I didn't know what else I could do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I left, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, that. Good luck with that. Hopefully, you'll show that to someone else. Anyway, I don't know if you want to. Since we were talking about the whole, you know, ecosystem thing, you know, that thing happened with Joe Rogan. It kind of went viral, I guess it was like 6 days ago. But I think it encapsulates kind of what the problem is right now.
Do you want me to play a clip?
Yeah, I mean, I'll set it up. It's basically like, I don't listen to that show, but, you know, I never really listened to it, mainly because it just sounded so long. Like, it's even at the beginning, it was like 4 hour episodes. And I'm like, that just sounds like too much. I have nothing against him, whatever, you know, if he wants to have me on. But I just, you know, this was just and I know he had a big audience, but I didn't realize until this thing happened, like how big his reach actually was. And so he's talking to someone on it who's like an MMA guy, you know, and again, nothing but like just this MMA guy's talking about politics. I don't know, just because your job is kicking people in the face till they pass out. I don't know that I really want to hear your views on. If you have somebody tell me about like how to kick people in the face, but. So basically, they're shitting on Biden. This has happened kind of over and over. And they'll just be like, Biden, you know, Biden says this. And, you know, anyone who said this, like, should be completely disqualified. And then it turns out that they play the clip and he's quoting what Trump said. And then, but that's the problem. The cognitive dissonance is hard because it's like you're so far in, you can't.
Well,
it's funny to watch a clip, right?
Yeah, I'll play some of the clip for a bit. But the reason why I think, and this is why you can't look at TikTok, is what people on TikTok or bots were doing is they were isolating that one part of the thing. And then they just like tag it. Biden is an idiot. You know, he's saying airports and stuff. So if you watched a 20-second clip of that, you would think that that's what was going on. So, but you know, you're Joe Rogan. You should be a little more not, you know, he's trying to be the intellectual in the room. That's his whole thing. You got to do a little more research.
Well, I think what's kind of weird, what happened with that show and a lot of podcasts is like, those kind of started just as like, you know, as a platform for comedians to just kind of have their own show without, you know, any kind of middleman. There's no like gatekeeper. So it was a new technology or whatever, like outlet. And he just blew up and he was a comedian. And then something shifted where all of a sudden a lot of these people became the mouthpiece for like politics and, you know, intellectual, you know, just, and they're just comedian. I mean, you know, I think when he started the show, it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to say some stuff about things I think are funny and talk to friends. And then it became like, he was like completely espousing ideology that everyone just took as like, you know, and what's the word I'm thinking? As like gospel.
Right.
So, you know, but that's the problem. He's just such a big audience and like, right, they're just going to listen to everything he says.
Right. So I'll just play the one clip. It's kind of in the middle, but so already Biden, they play the video of Biden and then he gets fact checked real time, but I'll just see it right over here.
It's crazy. If you had any other job and you were talking like that,
yeah,
they would go, hey, you're done.
If you talked like that to a doctor at your medical exam to fight, they'd be like, okay, like obviously you're not fighting. Here's, you know, 8 weeks of being helped out by a professional, like
right, you might not ever do anything again.
No, it's it's one of the wildest.
So basically, like if anyone says this, they're the dumbest person in the world and shouldn't even be able to like enlist to fight in the army or even just be outside.
And this is the second part. So then he gets fact checked because he has that producer Jamie, who I think is there because he's made
fired.
He's made some errors before, so now he wants to show that he can be real time fact checked, and this is a few minutes later.
Yeah, hanging out with the guy, I'm like, man.
Well, you know, it's just the media narrative. I mean, so many people were fed this lie that the Russia collusion
was this the video you're talking about?
Let me see what this one says. I don't think.
I mean, the setup could not be more fucking.
By the way, the same stable genius that said the biggest problem we had in the Revolutionary War is we didn't have enough airports.
And so this, the MMA guy doesn't get it yet.
Right.
If you look at the clip, you can see Rogan almost kind of figuring it out, like,
And that's, and then, you know, and then, but I think the thing that happened that annoyed the people the most is that they're like, oh, that was a Trump quote. And he goes, oh, he just misspoke.
He fucked up. So that's what I was saying. Yeah. It encapsulates to me the problem. What's happening is like, you can get fact check in real, you know, and this is why people are always like, well, it's a cult. And it's because the cognitive dissonance, they just always move the goalposts?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this guy, anyone who said this should be completely taken out, pull him, take him out. He shouldn't even have a job. Oh, he said, oh, well, he fucked up. Whatever. You know, it's kind of different. He said something like that. It's kind of different.
Yeah.
I mean, can you really? Is that real? I mean, it's funny to, it's really weird to watch something like where, you know, different information and the truth is like actually piercing into their, is being shown to them. And they're kind of trying to process it and they don't really know how to make sense of it. And it's such a weird, and I guess what's so annoying, and this is, I feel like this is what's been going on the last 8 years. It's a nonstop barrage of moments like that of like, can you believe this? But this guy, oh, whatever. No, it's different. but I don't know. Like,
but the good thing so the story that's been coming out now with Trump smells, that apparently is true. And it's because he's always smelled. He always had body odor. Now there's another story. It's from that guy who became a comedian. I actually met him once. He worked for Trump on The Apprentice. And he was the one who started saying Trump takes Adderall all the time. And he was saying right after the Trump smells thing came out, he says that Trump just wears an adult diaper and shits himself because he's just coked up and Adderall. It's just his gizzards are all fucked up.
Right.
So I like this because this is what you do with the campaign. You take what people are, you know, it's the projection triangulation thing where whatever someone's accusing you of, you fucking accuse them back harder. So they're saying Biden is a doddering fool. You turn it around and go, well, you shit your pants. And are you playing
that's
in the
a hard one to come back.
Right. Are you playing in the gutter? Yeah, but you got to play in the gutter with these motherfuckers. You know,
I actually, it's funny because that was one of the first ones that I was like, oh, this one, this is how you have to go after someone. Like you do have to go to the lowest.
Right.
Because that oddly hits him harder than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you, no matter what, everyone has had this, like you ever like know someone and then like you'll hear something about them that's kind of gross, or even you don't even know if it's true. It hasn't even been corroborated, but it just changes when your view of the person every time you see them. You just associate them with like something disgusting, you know, like they took a dump on the line. You're just like, oh, like, so this was the first one where I was like, oh shit. Like, and again, it because this whole thing is being, you know, this deity that's not human, you know, like South Korea, you know, like the what's his face, Kim Jong Il and Kim Jong Un, right, did, where that, you know, they don't take shits or whatever.
Yeah. Or they not human. Oh, shoot a hole in one and stuff.
That's so him smelling really brings him down to human level. You're like, oh, he just is a guy who just smells like shit. Like, and when I heard that, I was like, of course that guy smells like shit. Of course, he just looks like he smells. Do you know what I mean?
I remember the story when Biden got into the White House, they said they fucking fumigated the whole place. It's probably because he had his stinky old smell all over the fucking place.
But do you agree with that? I feel like that's one of the most effective I've heard so far, because it's like, it hits him in a level that's like his whole thing is on such a shallow level. Yeah.
So the biggest thing you're saying is that he had small hands. That means he has a small penis, you know?
Right. This one's worse though. Like, because someone smelling is like, well, it's like an odor, how odor like lingers. A rumor and like of you smelling kind of seems like something that would linger.
Well, did you see this? A Lincoln Project. I'm just going to play a little of it. It was just a little ad making fun of it. They're showing a picture of like garbage dumps and just like all like, there's a video of shit, garbage trucks. I guess this is not something you can do on radio.
I've seen it. It's called like Limburger or something. Yeah. And this is actually where I first heard about it. I was like, what is this? It's about smelling. And I looked it up.
They're like
kind of like a scented makeup product. Donald, is that you?
That's so good.
I feel like this is the key. You have to hit them on these levels.
Yeah.
Smelling, crapping his pants, like something like a crap your pants story would be great.
I think if Biden debates him, when they get there, Biden should go, listen, can we move the podium a little further away? If you said that, I know Biden wouldn't want to do that, but like he would fucking freak his fuck. And you would rattle him on the debate. You would rattle. He'd be like fucking just going out of his mind.
So the wearing the mask around him thing had nothing to do with COVID. I wanted to wear a mask, not because you smell like shit, but
they show videos of people sitting behind him, like McCarthy or Pence, and they're like making faces. I don't know if it's out of context, but
this is where we are though in the world, where it's literally like he smells.
Yeah.
Okay. But that might, I feel like that people would turn on him, maybe not even consciously, because of something like that. I don't know what it is. Something that really seems to like,
well,
stick,
I don't know,
to people.
You see a lot of supporters don't look like they bathe too much.
Well, that too, but I mean, like, maybe I don't know, it just doesn't, it doesn't, like I said, it takes away from the sheen and mystique of him. He doesn't seem like very powerful,
right,
and mysterious.
Now I always thought, because sometimes
this smells like crap,
sometimes really overweight people are fat or smell because it's hard for them to clean all the areas, but they said that he was smelly in the 80s. He stunk.
Yeah. So this really has been a thing that's been going around for a while.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Like I said, he looks like someone that would smell and not be aware of it. You know what I mean?
Right. And everyone's too scared around him to tell him he smells, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird because I know I hate body odor more than anything. And I'm always afraid to. Sometimes I will tell, like a comic will come in there, it'll gamey. I'm like, dude, you got to go to the bathroom. Like, you just fucking put some soap underneath
really?
Your, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's brutal. But I don't say it to everybody all the time. But to me, I would prefer cigarette smoke or any type of smoke than smelling.
Yeah.
Fucking, I mean, bad BO smells like fucking duty. It smells like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I do remember, like, this is how power, I mean, I guess it's for a lot of things, not just this, but I heard about a kid when I was in like seventh grade who smelled, like people would tell me he smelled. I didn't really ever smell him, but people would tell me he smelled.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really knew him, but I just always associated him with, that's all I could think of whenever I saw him, like immediately. I just, no matter, that guy could win, you know, a fucking Nobel Prize. And I'd just be like, that guy smells like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
Well, they said Trump smells has been the biggest hashtag on Twitter or X the last 3 days. So that's hilarious. Keep that.
It's
going.
Odd how that, I feel like that has a better chance of stopping him than the Mein Kampf quoting.
But do you think I'm wrong? Like, if you were in a debate with him and you said that immediately,
I feel like someone that's what needs
someone
to be
would
done,
someone would he would be, lose it. He'd lose it.
He would. He would lose it. It would be hilarious. But it's exactly what he would do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what's so annoying. I mean, when are people, you know, everyone's like, oh, you can't go to that level and you can't, you know, Biden would never do that. But I don't know. I mean, what do you. I guess we don't have to talk about this too much. We kind of got off on this tangent from I brought up the Rogan thing, but
I know we're talking about movies.
I like really like the movie Dream Scenario. is there anything else you want? There was another movie I wanted to talk about, and actually a couple other things. But do you want to say one that you said you just saw a big movie, right?
Well, I talked about Reality. That's the one I liked.
Do you like that girl in it, Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah. So. I was like, I thought she was a really good actress, and I don't watch Euphoria. So I was talking to some female comics, and I'm like, I really like her because she's like pretty, but she's like natural pretty. She looks like a real person. And they all looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah. She's super hot. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that in the movie she was trying to look like that woman.
Well,
so she was like not wearing a lot of makeup and kind of.
Yeah, you can tell. It's funny when like people do that, where you can tell they're like trying to like become like actresses or actors taken seriously because they make themselves ugly for a movie. You can always see when they're kind of going for some kind of award because like Charlize Theron did it, where you know she was so hot and she played that like disgusting killer, and then and this one I was kind of like, oh, like she's wearing kind of loose clothing so you can't see her body, and then like. You know, it's weird. She is really hot, but her face isn't that great. You know, we're going to get really go deep on that. But I mean, yeah. Like, I know she went out of her way to like not look hot, but like it really stood out to me. Like, so it's kind of like, oh, she is kind of a little bit of like a butter face.
I don't know. But but I just know like the real woman was like a kind of a tomboy sort of.
Yeah.
So,
it's funny. I could always tell when like an actor was trying to. You know,
they don't wear makeup,
show basically. Their range, because they would like not wear their toupee in a movie. I remember like that, like Nicolas Cage, Bruce Willis. They'd be like, I'd be like, oh, he's not wearing a wig in this. OK, well, I'm paying attention. What is this? So, yeah, it was.
And did you like Oppenheimer, by the way?
So you just saw that, right?
Yeah,
I thought it was good. I mean, it was I think I saw it twice. I did. I saw it twice in the theater. Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, I saw it. I feel like that's a movie I had to see twice because, like, so much happens so quickly because it's cutting back and forth all the time. And, like, it's one of those movies. Christopher Nolan movies are like that, where, like, if you miss, like, two lines, you've missed the next 40 minutes of the story. You know, they'll set up the next 40 minutes with, like, one line. So
I didn't have to do that because I kind of knew the story and I watched the documentary. So I wasn't really lost at all. Because
they kept shifting time periods, and then like their characters would be like Robert Downey Jr.'s character I didn't really understand at first, and like, but his movies are, he did the movie Tenet I think too, and that movie literally you need like a like cliff notes to like understand that movie. So like I saw and I read about it, and then I went back and saw it, and I was like, okay. And it was a lot better the second time, because you know the first time I had an hour of like I don't know what's going on.
I think the first hour was not great. It picked up later on, especially when
I had the same thing with Fast X.
The first,
I was like, what
are you gonna say? Go ahead.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. Why is he going so fast in that car?
and the first 2 hours that kind of sucked, but then after that, when the movie was over, it was actually much better.
I got the third time I saw it, I started to pick up on it.
You know, that movie kind of bombed too. That they put that in the story, that even those movies aren't doing that well anymore.
Yeah, apparently that's just like abominable. I mean, if you can believe it, Fast Furious 10 was bad apparently. But they did that thing apparently where they didn't end it. They're like, oh, and then you have to see the next one. You're like, but wait a minute. I thought this was a movie. It's not over yet. That's like another thing they do with movies. They don't end the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so All right. Do I get to see the next one for free? Like, no.
I mean, that's like maybe why people are turning on the Marvel movies, because it's always like the movie's not over. I'm like, I spent $20 on this. Can I have some closure here? You know?
I feel Marvel movies to me are kind of like are the same thing as the Trump era, where like I feel like 8 years ago, I was like, this is shit. You know, now people are like, you know what? These aren't that good. And I'm like, right. I said it 8 years. This is nothing. It's just the same movie.
Right.
I mean, whatever, if you're into that, fine. I, you know, just go be into it, but like, don't try and convince me that they're like good, different movie, you know, cause people get mad at you if you don't like those Marvel movies. They act like something's wrong with you. And I'm like, no, I'm just having sex.
And plus the critics are scared. I think years ago they realized they had to get on board with reviewing these movies well. So you see them getting like 90%+ on Rotten Tomatoes, and then like really good movies will get like 60%. You're like, what the fuck, man? You know, and they're,
yeah,
but I think now the critics are starting to turn on these movies because they're like, all right, maybe the tide's turning a little bit. I mean, they're not going away. They're not going away, but
they're like not. I think they're going to regroup and figure something out.
Like,
but
the Star Wars movies, they made too many of them, and then they're like, okay, we got it. It's not special anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I really do miss when we were, remember when we were young and it was like a Star Wars movie would come out every 3-4 years and it was like, you'd hear about it and like September, you'd see a trailer, it'd be like coming in May.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They were like, you didn't know what it was at first, and you're like, no way.
You know? Yeah. And you were like, it's coming in 8 months. Back when like 8 months was like 10 years. I also just saw this movie called Saltburn. Have you, and it's the same director. I forgot her name. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but it's kind of a weird name, but she did Promising Young Woman,
which I thought was a great movie. I thought that movie should have won Best Picture that year. I forgot.
Really, it's really good.
Yeah.
With Carey Mulligan. Yeah. And, you know, this director is really good because this is another one that kind of, you know, is kind of a commentary on the haves and have nots and kind of the disparity of wealth now and kind of the growing disparity between
Emerald,
the ultra wealthy, Fennel.
Yeah.
And and Promising Young Woman was kind of about like rape culture, right? I guess, you know, and so the you know, it's kind of like having some controversy, I guess, because there's some weird kind of sex scenes that are a little like hard to watch and kind of like cringy. But it's sort of talented Mr. Ripley-ish. Did you like that movie?
I really like that movie.
So it's kind of like that, and it's one of those movies where they do a really good job of like keeping you on your toes. You're always kind of like, they're trying to kind of show you, take you in one direction, and you're like, okay, I don't know about it. They're trying to convince me of this thing happening, but I don't know yet. And then they do a really good job of kind of like constantly shifting and pulling the rug out from underneath you. And I thought it was really good.
So that movie, you know, didn't do as well as the other one, Promising Young Woman. This got a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. 72%.
Saltburn,
right?
Yeah.
So,
which even if you're like, are like kind of like, well, whatever, I didn't love it as much. I mean, it's very well made, and it's very unique, and it's done really well. So,
okay. And the last Spider-Man movie got a 93%.
Was that the cartoon one?
Oh yeah. Wait, let's see the cartoon one. That was just the last No Way Home.
The Spider-Verse.
Yeah. That
Spider. Yeah. We've talked about Spider-Man No Way Home where there's 9 Spider-Men in it.
Yeah. This one got 97%. Oh, this was this was the first one, but the second
everyone with the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Everyone like thinks that's like the greatest movie that's ever been made. I saw it. I was like, it's really weird. Have you noticed on your, you know, your life, you're getting to an age, you're just like, I just don't understand things. I'll see something, I'll be like, this is great. And everyone's like, that's the worst. Okay. You know, all right. So this is a funny thing. So, do you know that movie, The Room, that really bad movie?
Yeah. And they did
they made The Disaster Artist about, and it's just notoriously it's like thought of as like the best worst movie ever made. It's so bad that it's like amazing.
Yeah.
So I'd seen it before, but me, my girlfriend had wanted to see it, and they played at this theater on, I think, Second Avenue in 12th Street, you know, every now and then on like a Friday or Saturday. And so like 3 weeks ago, I saw it was playing. So we went to go see it and I was like really psyched to see it. And it's funny because I was like, I realized when we got there and I was like, I couldn't believe I didn't figure this out. It's like a Rocky Horror thing now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we got there, you know, people have like all these props and stuff and they're just screaming the whole movie. And at first I was kind of like annoyed because everyone's just yelling the whole time. But it did get kind of fun and funny.
Oh, sure.
But
is it really
bad? Like amazing? It's Pat. I mean, I saw it on video years ago and it was really bad. And I mean, I had forgotten like a good third of the movie. And I was like, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you're like, oh yeah, it's bad. I mean, it is it's unreal how bad it is.
Like, what do they
and
do? What some of the things I like, what do they forget?
All right, this is the thing I forgot. There's so many sex scenes. He just keeps having sex scenes.
Right.
And he has this one long sex scene for the entire like 4 or 5 minute song. And then there's like 10 minutes. And then there's another sex scene. And it's the exact sex scene. Like he just used the footage again. Like in the, like thinking no one would know. So you're just like, and it's another. So he's like has like 5 sex scenes. That was something I was like, wait a minute, is that the same scene? There's this thing where, first of all, it's called The Room for no, there's no reason for it to be called The Room. It's right. Not just, there's no specific room. I guess there's parts where they're in a room and he just thought that would be.
I mean, at least the movie Room was about a room.
Yeah. This was like, he does this thing where literally, You know, like movies will have establishing shots for like, you know, where they are. Like they'll be like, oh, they're in a police station. So they show a shot of the police station. He does an establishing shot between every scene, even though they're even when they go back to the exact same location. And it's in San Francisco and it's always just generic, like 30-second shot pans of like the Golden State Bridge, like over and over. And you're just like, we know they're in San Francisco. Like you don't need. So everyone counts how long the establishing shots are. They're like 30, 40 seconds. And
that must have been fun. Was it really fun?
At first, you know, me and my girlfriend are very kind of like, we're sort of like snobby. You know, and people, you know, I've always been this way. People are like enjoying themselves. We're like, whatever. So at first I was like annoyed, but I was kind of like, what an idiot. How? Of course this is what it's going to be. Why wouldn't it be like this? Right. So the girl in front of us was really annoying. She was yelling a lot of things that weren't funny, but there were people in the movie who were, it's almost like a comedy show. Like some people in the crowd were yelling really funny things. There was like a couple of dudes and I was like, who were constantly getting really good zingers out. But I mean, it's, yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's sold out.
And you know, some of these people probably go back all the time. That's what they're like comics almost. They have their zingers already prepared.
Oh yeah, yeah. They definitely have. There's things that they like Rocky Horror where everyone yells the same thing, but some people kind of have their own. But you know, there's one really weird, like you know, on the spectrum kind of guy behind us, and you know, I was kind of like, I was like, ugh. But then like later, I was like, well, I mean, good for him. Like this is like his thing.
Yeah,
right?
You get to yell at the movie theater. That's like you don't really get that option too many times.
Yeah. It's really weird, surreal to be in a movie theater full of white people yelling at the screen.
Was it packed? Was it packed?
I will say, whenever I go to a movie, black people are yelling at the screen. They always are making good points. It's usually at horror movies, and they always
don't go in there.
They're right. Like they're always like, "What the fuck are you doing?" You know, it's just like you're like, "Yeah, it's true."
One of the best experiences I ever had. I saw Get Out. The first day it opened and there was tons of black people in the theater and it was so much fun. It was like, I was just dying. I mean,
they just like, get out of there, bitch.
It wasn't like every second, but it just was like always well-timed and it was really hilarious, you know? Like, oh, no, son. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like,
no, it's funny. Sometimes people, you know, it's not just black, but yeah, like I definitely have gone to movies and if you see a horror movie opening weekend at night, you kind of have to know what you're getting into.
Right.
I've done that where I've gone to a horror movie opening night and then I'm like, what the hell? People are, yeah, you know, it's just people are screaming. And I, one time I like realized and I just started screaming too because it became kind of like a game. It was kind of funny that I could just yell things. But
do you ever see that Seinfeld episode that they don't show too much, but you could still see it, the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which was kind of almost canceled that episode? It's a funny episode, but there's George who keeps going to this movie because he has this one zinger.
Yeah, that's gotta hurt. Is that what he says?
Yeah. And then he gets overshadowed by the guy he does the laser pointer. And he goes, he's just a prop comedian. I had to write my joke.
Yeah, and Jerry's like jealous because he's like, the next show, there's going to be 100 people there. And Kramer's like, 100? Wow, that's a lot more than you've performed for lately. But no, it's true. It kind of was like that. People were yelling things. And I was like, that guy's funny. Like, who is that guy? Imagine like if you got discovered at like yelling at the room. Yelling at a movie theater.
Honestly, make a TikTok video, anything can happen now. So
yeah, so but yeah, I would recommend going to see that's like Angelica on East Side. So is there there was one other thing I wanted to mention that I really liked this year, that TV show, I think it's on Showtime, The Curse. Have you seen that?
I'm gonna start watching it. Is it funny? Because I like Nathan Fielder.
You know, I knew who he was before this, and I never really was into him, but now I really like
him. You never watched those shows that he did? They're so funny.
I watched Nathan For You a little bit, but now I'm watching it. Like, now I'm watching it. I think I didn't get it at first. I didn't really know what it was. I mean, I kind of did, but he's really, really good in it. And, you know, it's funny, but it's also, like, it's weird. It is funny, though, and it's also, like... almost like a thriller, but it's also like mocking reality TV shows and also kind of like super woke people who are trying to like come off, you know, in the media as, you know, likable. But the guy, you know, Emma Stone is really good in it. And then the guy, Benny Safdie, who's in Oppenheimer, who's like a director with his brother.
Oh yeah. He was the one who played Teller, right?
Yeah.
In Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in it, and he's definitely one of the creators with Nathan Fielder. But I think he directs a lot with his brother. But that guy, Benny Safdie, I love their movies, and he's a really good actor. That guy, he's really funny in it.
Oh, I gotta watch this.
But it's not like a comedy. It's like it's more cringy because they're
I love that. I love cringy. You know,
I think you would really like it. It's very like it's really smart and weird. And because Nathan Fielder, I feel like anything Nathan Fielder does, you know, you're just in you're getting something different. Where and I feel like it took a little while to get rolling, but I still liked it at first. But it's kind of coming together now. And Nathan Fielder is just so amazing. Like he just is so willing to look like such an idiot. Looks so bad. Same with Emma Stone, like her character's so unlikable in it.
She was on SNL the other week. She's been on a few times, but she was really good on it. She really,
yeah, she was great on that. She's like better than the people on the show. I always liked her, but yeah, watching this, I was like, oh man, she's fucking like amazing.
You know, who also was really good on SNL. Adam Driver. He's been on.
Yeah, he's great. He was great. That guy's great too. Yeah, so that movie I heard is bombing bad. Ferrari.
Oh really? But yeah, but yeah. I have a friend who works on the show, and they told me that he memorizes all his lines on SNL. He doesn't use
the that Vanessa who told you that?
Yeah, he memorizes all his lines.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, you don't have to. That they don't really want you to, but if you're gonna do it, nail your fucking lines. I guess it's because you don't have to look like you're looking at anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he was great on SNL. And then, but so yeah, if you haven't watched it, yeah, watch The Curse. It does take a little while to. It kind of starts out good, and then it doesn't get bad. It just gets like episodes 3 and 4. You're kind of like, what's going on? Like, you're not sure like where it's going. But
are they half an hour episodes?
I think they're like, they might be like 45 to 50 minutes. Okay. But it's just so like weird. It's like,
I got to watch this.
It's different. It's very, and I feel like Nathan Fielder and Benny Safdie, those guys, they always kind of like to make things. They're sort of like the Safdie guys. I noticed they're very into like the feeling, like making you feel a certain way watching a movie. You know what I mean? Like they're really like, you saw Uncut Gems, right?
Oh, they did that. Oh, I never saw that movie.
So, you know, that movie, you never saw it. It's basically like Adam Sandler's this very kind of like neurotic, nervous, anxious guy. and always on edge. And the movie, they keep doing all these things in the movie where you're really like jumpy and like anxious and on edge. And I realized that the second time, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to like feel like kind of like on edge all the time. That's how he feels.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're really into like, so that's, this show is very much like, you're like, oh, I feel really uncomfortable right now because they're really uncomfortable. There's one really funny part where Nathan Fielder takes like a corporate comedy class.
Mm-hmm.
And they're teaching everyone to be funny, people who aren't funny. And they get into like an argument about like, you know, like that joke offends me. Like yeah. That kind of stuff. Everyone is really sensitive about joke. But it's just really funny thinking of like people taking like a corporate comedy class just to figure out how to be like not wooden.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And Nathan Fielder's really good at it because he's like, his character just is not funny and likable. So he's like trying to... Yeah, that amazes me. People will just take a comedy class just to kind of like get out of there to help them at their job or something. Yeah. I guess it's a good idea.
No, when I would have to do public speaking for my companies I used to work in, you know, everyone else was like terrified. And they're like, you're not scared? I'm like, I did a show last night when someone threw a ketchup packet on my head. I'll be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I always say this. Comedy's harder than public speaking because in public speaking, if you fuck up, people laugh. If you're a comedian and you fuck up, no one laughs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
Yeah, and just talk about that because I don't usually like watching comedy specials anymore, but I saw Gary Goldman's new one.
Yeah.
He is really good. He's really good comic. I mean, he really is. You know, I've heard different things about him personally, but like, and he kind of shits on Seinfeld in it, which is kind of funny.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome.
This was his great line. He goes, I'm not really good at analogies. He goes, in fact, I failed at analogy school. And he goes, failing at analogy school is like, you know, he just pauses.
He's like, oh, does he not finish it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
That was like, I'm really, I looked at those. I thought that was a funny joke.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I'm like really into analogies in comedy.
Yeah.
But I actually picked that up on her.
Yeah. You're great at that too. And he actually, the joke before he did, where it was a great analogy. I forgot what it was, but, and then he just says, oh, I'm actually not that really good at analogies. That one was good. And then he goes into it. I'm like, wow.
Wait, who's a comedian that is really good at that? Cause I definitely learned it watching comedians. I'm trying to think.
I mean, I think you're really good at it. I used to see comics do it more. I like doing it. I try to do it because I'm a big believer of like stretching out your jokes a little bit. So if you have a joke and a good premise and maybe just a good one liner, you could always follow it up with, you know, that's like this, and you got this extra little bump right there. You just got to nail it.
Right. When I would see comedians do it well, I was always like, oh, early on, like Nick Swartz and I remember would do it. It wasn't like he was known for it, but I remember he would like, be like, oh, this happened. That's like if da da da, and I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, that's seems like a funny way to find like an angle. I'm trying to think of some like. Well, it's funny. I do it all the time.
Comics now always like to do misdirects, you know, and those are funny. But sometimes the comics just that's all they do, and you're like, all right, you know. Sometimes not just telling the joke, and even if they're expecting it, that's fine. Sometimes people just want to hear
Yeah.
What they're thinking in their head, you know, but too many comics, they don't like doing that anymore. I'm like, I don't know. Norm used to do that all the time. He would
just say the exact thing.
And he was one of the best comics ever. So.
Yeah, it is weird because sometimes it would be like a it wouldn't be a misdirection, but you wouldn't know where it's going. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't really do a lot. I do like some misdirection, but the reason I don't like them is because I just feel like they're done fast.
Yeah.
Like it's just like da da da, and then you're like, oh no, I have to do another joke.
Yeah,
I like more just like long because it's like I feel like it takes up more time, you know.
Yeah, and time.
All right, so yeah, I'm doing your show tonight, so I have to get ready.
Yeah. One last thing. I'll just give one last thing that I liked this year was the show Fargo's back, and it's really great. They nailed it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Yeah, everyone keeps telling me that's.
I mean, the best thing about that show is you can jump in any season because they're kind of self-contained. Yeah. The second season's the best. It's with Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst, who ended up getting married from that show. But like, season one, two were really good. Three was pretty good. Four people didn't like because it was kind of Chris Rock was in it. It was but it was good. It just was different than all the other seasons. And then this season, they went back to the old formula, and like it's like so Coen Brothers-y that it's
Really? Maybe I will watch it.
Yeah, they put all these Coen Brothers Easter eggs where they'll use plot devices and things like that.
And they're doing another True Detective that's coming out or something.
I saw that with Jodie Foster. That's
it's not out yet, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'll watch that. The third one, that's spotty. The first one I kind of liked. It was okay. The second one, no one liked. And then the third one was like pretty good. But
I don't know. The first season like kind of brought Matthew McConaughey back. That was his like renaissance. And then Vince Vaughn was like, oh, I'll do the second season. I'll do the same thing for me. And that didn't work.
And they were
ever.
Like, get lost. Yeah, that was weird. It was like kind of like, all right, well, this is the template now. I'll follow this trajectory. It is weird. I never watched. I think I saw like one episode and it was just like bad. I don't know. It was like a really good cast. Like Colin Farrell. And
Yeah.
I think that I don't know what happened with that. But yeah, that really ate shit. And then it sort of... I don't know.
People always want to follow this formula. Like I was Googling this to see if anyone asked this question. And of course people did. Will there be an Oppenheimer 2? Like someone asked that. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't, but I mean, I wouldn't put it past Hollywood at this point.
I know, but they finished him as an old man. Like, was he going to, the movie's going to be him in an old age home? I mean,
I feel like they'll figure something. You know, I actually figured out a way to do a sequel to Titanic.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I mean, and honestly, I was doing it as a joke, but the more I was doing it, the more I was doing it, in front of my girlfriend. She was like, I could see them doing it. It was like Titanic T-O-O, and it would just be another story on the Titanic.
Oh, yeah. That is a great idea. Wow.
That's kind of a good idea, right?
Yeah. And you could see like at one point they just run by like Kate Winslet.
Right.
But just for a minute.
Well, me, it was going to be like I'm, banging Kate. With Kate Winslet, and then I'm just like, the whole thing is that my character is like a prick, and I'm like conning my way onto boats, and then I take a whole boat for myself. It's the whole thing is just like I'm a total prick instead of like a hero.
See, I have an idea because really prequels are more popular because you can go back. So I think we could do a prequel to Titanic where the whole movie is just people making reservations for the.
Yeah, that would be good.
They go, Titanic,
like, this is going to be great.
And then the movie ends with them just getting on the boat. And that's it.
Yeah. Like, you sure you don't want to go on this trip with me? Like, no way. Just a bunch of ironic,
There was some famous person, rich person who was supposed to be on the Titanic and didn't go.
That would be fucking, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right.
All right.
So that's how we end this on irrelevant Titanic.
I don't know about the name Titanic 2, though.
We'll be talking about Forrest Gump next week and its cultural impact. Titanic 2. Everyone check it out. I'm writing it right. Titanic T-O-O.
Electric Boogaloo.
It just cuts it when they're having sex. It just cuts to me like watching from behind something like
no,
my pants down.
They're having sex and you're drawing them. Like
oh right, right. Too bad. And I'm come on, let me on the boat. And I'm like, they don't have enough room on like a rowboat. And there's an old woman. I'm like, hey, I think you're sitting on something. And then she gets out and just push her over. Like,
push
Titanic 2. What? Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it'd be fun. Like, I'm just kind of the whole joke was that I'm like an asshole and like completely unlikable. All right. So I'll see you soon. Thanks everyone for listening, and I guess we'll see you next year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and happy holidays. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.